All right, here's a couple of questions. One is from Prahlad Das, and I don't know which Prahlad Das this is. I assume there are many, many all over the world. He says, you spoke on a podcast of September 27th that the disciples of Balabhadra Prabhu did not want to continue a non-existent relationship after the turn of events. Please could you explain how we understand the spiritual master to be our eternal spiritual master when we often find situations where the relationship is broken, such as this one? I've spoken on this topic before on different occasions, but certainly there's no harm to repeat things. Repetition is important. And the relevance of this question is to an important historical event. So let me just elaborate on this question and another one that I have a little further. We as living entities are eternal spirit souls. We're different from this temporary material body. And a Vaishnava is a person who understands his spiritual nature and understands the supreme spiritual nature of the Supreme Lord and therefore serves him. That relationship between us and Krishna is called Nitya Krishna Das. We are eternally Krishna's servant. In the conditioned state or in a fallen state, we forget our service to Krishna, and then we're in illusion, but we continue like that always. A Vaishnav also has relationships with other Vaishnavas, and those relationships are also based on someone else being Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, the relationship between two souls remains eternal, because it is on the basis of a eternal relationship. Amongst Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is that Vaishnava who not only casually, not only in a friendly way, but in a very committed way, following rules and regulations in an authoritative way, takes the responsibility to become our spiritual teacher, our spiritual guide, and give us instructions by which we can advance in spiritual life. And the most essential aspect of those instructions is his good behavior, his personal example. And by following the example of the spiritual master, therefore we progress in our relationship with Krishna and with him and with other Vaishnavas, matures and develops. When a spiritual master gives up the role of being a teacher, he no longer plays that role. His identity as spirit soul continues, but his identity as guru comes to an end. Therefore, because he no longer is a teacher, the relationship between him and his disciples also ceases. It is no longer a eternal relationship because that relationship has been severed. Therefore, eternal in the sense that it's between eternal living entities, and as long as they properly follow the duties which has been assigned to them, in this case as the spiritual master, the relationship continues. But if those duties are severed, then the relationship ceases. And of course, that's not just for the spiritual master, but the same thing is there. If the disciple ceases the relationship and no longer follows, the spiritual master may stop to lead, and the disciple may stop to follow. If the disciple stops following, then he or she also severs that relationship, and once again, the relationship is no longer eternal. It may be that a disciple may come back and follow again, in which case he connects in with the eternal relationship, but if he remains disconnected, then the relationship ends. Srila Prabhupada, as well as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have also mentioned that it may also be the responsibility of the guru who is not fallen, that when he sees that a disciple has become fallen, and he is not of great spiritual prowess, to actually sever the relationship with the disciple. Otherwise, he himself will become dragged down or pulled down by the results of the disciple's sinful activities. So, when between two living entities, two eternal living entities, their defined relationship is functional, then they have an eternal relationship, in this case, guru and disciple. And when that defined relationship is cut, when it is severed, then their eternal relationship stops. I hope that's understandable. And here's another question. This is from Bhakti Shailesh in the UK. Why does Srimati Radharani have no tilak on her forehead? Okay. We wear tilak because tilak is a sign that we are servants of Krishna. Or, better yet, that we are trying to become servants of Krishna. By this, we reinforce to ourselves, when we put tilak on all the different limbs of our body, upon our forehead, that we're Krishna's servants. It tells others that we're Krishna's servant. And we're also making a declaration to Krishna himself. We're trying to serve you. Please accept our humble service. Srimati Radharani, whether in the spiritual world or here in the material world, as well as all of her gopi associates and the Brijbasis, they are not sadhakas like we are. They are siddhas. They are perfect in their devotional service. Therefore, everything that they do is perfect, fully pleasing to Krishna, and is the embodiment of pure loving service to him. So they need not make any point to themselves, to others, or to Krishna. However they dress, however they look, they are perfect and unsurpassable in every way. In addition to that, Krishna's Leela is Nara Leela. It's human-like Leela. And in that human-like Leela, the Brijbasis not only worship Lord Vishnu, but also worship different demigods. Nanda Maharaj worshipped a Nrisimhadeva deity and Nandagram. He also had a deity of Lord Varaha. Beyond that, he worshipped different Shalagram Shilas, or had different Shalagram Shilas worship. And then he also did Indra Puja. He wanted to worship King Indra. They also worship the sun god. They also worship Durga Devi and Kali. This enhances and increases the moods of Vrindavan. And of course, in a few days, we're going to be beginning the Katyayani Vrata, where the little gopis of Vrindavan, they worship Katyayani Devi. But all of this worship is all centered around Krishna. It's actually Krishna worship, because they're worshipping Indra so that Vrindavan is nice and lush, so that the cows will have lots of nice grasses, so that Krishna will have nice milk. They worship the sun god, as Srimati Radharani does, for Krishna's protection, and so on and so on. Indeed, their worship of demigods is also worship of Krishna. And it's not the indirect worship of conditioned souls, but it's the perfect worship of those in loving devotion, who want nothing else other than Krishna's well-being, and they'll worship anyone in order to achieve that. And having said that, Srimati Radharani does have tilak on her forehead, but it's not the type of Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak that we wear, but it's a round yantra type tilak, which within itself contains all of the different elements of her loving devotion to Lord Krishna. And therefore, actually, our Gaudiya Vaishnava Tilak is also contained within that. At least the purpose and the essence of it is. And finally, if Tilak is the symbol of service to Krishna, then you can say that Srimati Radharani herself, verily, is Tilak symbol, because she is the emblem, the personification of perfect devotional service to Lord Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, in one of his prayers to Giriraj, calls him that he is the Tilak of Vrindavan. So in this way, Giriraj, Srimati Radharani, the Brijbasis, they are actually Tilak marks because they are the symbol of service and worship to Krishna.